You know, I'm scheming on how I'm going to party next, or where am I going to get money to go and party, or who do I know is getting their welfare check, or who do I know is doing this? When's this person getting paid? You learn all that. You learn who's got money and when, so you know who to hang with.
Stay good day. Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear more from Jeff Van Every, an Upper Cayuga from the Six Nations. We pick up the story where Jeff left off. He's miserable because his family had left him over his drinking.
So, you know, my mother had passed away and my father had passed away, and we had just moved to another apartment, which was supposed to be better for us because it was a bigger house. It was a single house, and we would have the whole house for ourselves and more bedrooms for the kids. But it turned out to be anything but that, because when she left, I was in an empty house. And it wasn't real joyful, because her and the kids not being there just made it hard. And it went on for a while. God, even then, was working in my life, because I had a picture of my mother hanging on my wall, and I had a 12-pack of beer sitting on the coffee table, and I was getting ready to drink, and it was 9 o'clock in the morning. And I just said, well, if there is a God that loves me, then I'm crying out. I'm asking for help. I says, but whoever steps up, and I remember, I don't really know how I feel about that, but because I said, well, if there's a devil or if there's a God, whoever steps up, that's who I'm going to serve. But knowing the things that I know now, I was already serving the devil. And the devil was in my back pocket. And it felt like the second that I said that, the second that I cried out, that the phone rang. And I picked it up, and here it was my wife, who wasn't my wife at that time, but we had later on gotten married. But she called, and she said, I heard that you want to talk. And it was from that moment on that I realized that, I said, wow, you know, there is a God. You know what I mean? It was like that second the phone rang, and it was her. We haven't talked in a couple months. Didn't take my letters, didn't take my phone calls. I sent friends over there. I knew where she was staying at her sister's with the kids. Didn't answer the door, nothing, no communication. You know how hard that was worse than anything, than me getting beat up by 10 guys. That hurt me more than anything, not having that communication. So I knew she was serious. So it was put on me that, well, what are you going to do now? Well, what I'm doing ain't working, so I got to look for an alternative here. I got to look for something that's going to work. It seemed like people were always, you know, coming up to me and saying, well, do you know Jesus? Everywhere I went, there was like a Bible. I might not be the brightest bulb on the tree, but I says, wow, you know, there's people all of a sudden just coming up and talking to me and you know, offering me salvation or whatever. And I didn't know what salvation was. What is it? But it's that opportunity that I took. Now, me and my wife now, because it was about 3 months after that, she did come back. We did reconcile. And she did feel comfortable enough to say, well, I really believe in that you made a decision to do the things that you need to do to keep our relationship going. And so we started attending church. And I remember one time, and this is what got me. This is what got me. We had already started going to church. We haven't accepted the Lord yet, but we are going to Bible study because we are looking for change. in our lives. And one morning, the pastor there had asked me if I would paint the prayer room. And it was a good-sized room. And I said, sure. So I had to get up early one Saturday morning. And I told my wife, I said, oh man, I don't feel like going. I don't feel like going there. I says, it's a beautiful day out. But I was thinking about, you know, days like this, it's party time. You know what I mean? Hot out, just going to be 80, ice cold beer, you know, go hang out with the boys. So I'm walking this like 20 blocks or whatever it is, and I get a half a block from the church, half a block, and I'm contemplating not going and just blowing the day off and going and getting a beer. Now, I haven't drank in, at that time, probably over a year. I said, no, man, I don't want to go. I don't want to go and do this. Well, it was at that instant. Walking down the street, I'm about four doors away from the church. I can make a right and go and party, or I can make a left and go to church and finish painting this prayer room. The door flies open on this porch, and this lady comes out. She's got a handful of breadcrumbs, and she throws them out on the lawn. And she looked at me, she says, Jesus loves you. And I looked at her like, I says, and she just like closed the door and just went back in the house. That day I never missed church. That day I said, I never turned to the right like that. And I made that decision and that choice right there. Because it was just unbelievable. The door flew open and she just said this, and she looked right at me and she pointed her finger. She said, Jesus loves you. And that was it. Ever since then, it's just been such a joy. I mean, you never realize that, because you're always in that. You're always in that chaos. You're always in that mix of, you know, how am I going to get my next, you know, I'm scheming on how I'm going to party next, or where am I going to get money to go and party, or who do I know is getting their welfare check, or who do I know is doing this? When's this person getting paid? You learn all that. You learn who's got money and when, so you know who to hang with. Well, you know, after going to Bible study and reading, really basically reading the Word of God, and Him opening up the Word that you would understand what cost, and Him sending His only Son to die for us, it's kind of weird, you know. It's kind of weird because you say, what? Who would do that? Or how can he do that? There's a lot of questions that come up on somebody that you don't know nothing about, because you're torn in your culture. You're torn where you got tradition and you got Christianity. You know, you read about, you see the signs alongside the road. The wages of sin is death. If you continue, if you go down that path that you're on now, the penalty is death. Well, you can stop that. You know, people might say, oh, no, this is the way it is. And it isn't. It isn't the way it is. But if you don't know that you got an out, and somebody tells you about this is your out, you either take that out or you continue down that path. I chose the path. I chose the out. And once you realize that, say, wait a minute. There's someone that's going to forgive me for this. There's somebody that's going to change that. Where I was headed, knowing the things I know now, I would have busted hell wide open. But now I look at it now, and yeah, the wages of sin, if you continue down that path and you don't make those changes, which only you can do, only me, I'm the only one that could do that by making that choice to believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and to accept Him into my life. And I said, well, is that all I got to do? Come on, because you're a little skeptical, because nothing comes for free. You see, so you're a little weary about that, but it's a gift. Here you go. It cost God His Son. Who would give up their son for somebody else? The wages of sin is death. In order to get into heaven, he had to send his son to pay that price, to pay that penalty for our sin, for the things that we do. Because you can't stand before God full of sin, being nasty as we are. God can't tolerate that. We got to stand with Christ. And he says, it's because of you I'm taking them. Because of you, because you died for them. You gave up your life. You gave up all your glory and up here in heaven with me. And you did it for them. So now they can stand with you in front of me. In the end, because everybody stands before God, everybody, whether you're a believer or non-believer, you stand before Christ. I want to stand there with Christ. When I went to the altar, I said, okay, let's do it. Let's do it. I believe. I believe you're going to do that for me. And to accept it together, me and my wife together, to go to the altar is kind of rare. We got saved together because we both realized the mistakes that we made and that we need to do this together. We need to do it. And that's where it starts. When you realize and you feel it in your heart and you're getting those strings pulled and you say, well, you know, this is what I'm going to do because I believe. I thought I believed in all this other stuff. Well, look where it got me. You know, the benefit of going to the altar and standing there before Christ, standing there knowing that you are standing before the creator of all mankind, of heaven and earth, and saying, listen, I believe in you. I'm going to follow you. I understand that you died, you were buried, and on the third day you were raised. And that's what I stand by. It was a life-changing experience because I remember standing there with her and just feeling totally relieved. And tears were coming down my cheeks and tears were flowing down her cheeks. And after that, it was just something.
What a powerful testimony. And my friend, God can do the same for you. It doesn't matter how far gone you think you might be. God is able to save you and set you free. And he wants to, because he loves you. We read in his word, by this God's love was revealed in us, that God has sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Friend, turn to God and put your trust in Jesus Christ. He died so that you could live and be set free. Want to know more? Visit our website withoutreservation.com and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's more to Jeff's story, so we hope you'll join us next time as we listen to The Storyteller.